Our next candidate is State Senator Howie Morales from Silver City. Senator Morales, thank you for being with us. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you're running for governor of New Mexico?
Sure. My name is State Senator Howie Morales from Silver City. And being born and raised here in New Mexico, I truly have a passion for this state. And seeing, it really troubles me when I see so many times that in every major category in the country, we seem to be last or towards the last. And I've always adopted a second-to-none mentality where I want to ensure that in all areas of our state that we have the possibility and the opportunity to really help our state progress. And that begins with education and making sure that we have the opportunity for our students to be challenged and to be able to grow and have the opportunity to compete in a challenging and thriving economy. I can see at the things that we deal with in the state of New Mexico, and in no way should we be ranked 49th in poverty or 50th in child well-being when we have the potential within our own state. And I think it's time that we focus on the state of New Mexico and New Mexico citizens and really try to grow from within.
Now, in New Mexico, which has a tight economy, money's in short supply, what parts of the budget would you increase or cut in order to realize your priorities?
Yeah, well, I think, I come from a multi-perspective because my experiences in the state legislature as a classroom teacher, as a hospital administrator, and, chair of the Economic Rural Development Committee, and I have a broad perspective of what is going on in state government and what we can do. Sitting on that Legislative Finance Committee, I know what it is to have to craft a state budget. And I see that, the potential for our state budget, when we talk about money being, in short supply, one thing we need to do is we need to really reprioritize how we're spending. It troubles me when there's so many issues throughout the state, like with CYFD and protecting our children, or issues with access to health care, and our agencies are continually returning money back to the general fund and not putting that money to work for people. That's one area that we can add some efficiencies in the spending. I also believe that we need to look at the investments of what we can do rather than looking at everything as an expenditure. Early childhood education is going to be key. We're going to have to make sure that we have the ability to educate from pre-birth all the way to graduation, and that'll help us develop a workforce that we can thrive in this economy. I also believe that when you're looking at crafting a budget and balancing the budget, you need to look at all options. And when you look at all options, everything's got to be on the table. The four steps to problem solving are: what is the problem? What are the causes? What are all possible solutions? And then come up with the best solution. And that's the approach that I would take as governor to make sure that we give every New Mexican a chance to be successful, and ensuring that people aren't working for the government, but rather the government's working for the people.
Let's also talk about jobs here and the importance of the private sector in growing this economy, which many people believe is critical. How would you fault the current governor for the way she has been courting businesses in New Mexico, and what would you do differently?
I think that when we look and see the issues with jobs, and I have a bold initiative, by the year 2022, I'm proposing that we can increase by 200,000 net new jobs. And I believe that this can begin, first of all, is we have a lot of money that's tied up within state government at this point. It's very frustrating to see that the business community, the business sector, the private sector, and the government sector seem to be not working in unison. And I think that's what has to change. And we've got to make sure that we're going to have that relationship that both can thrive. Give you an example with that money that I say that's held up within state government. Currently, we have millions of dollars that's sitting in the Department of Finance for capital outlay projects, for buildings, for construction. And this could have been helped, released to help New Mexicans get back to work even a couple years ago. I think by making sure that we have efficiencies in those dollars getting out, we'll kickstart the construction industry, we'll put people to work. And when you talk about improvements to roads or bridges or other infrastructure, you're going to have to partner with your private sector. You're going to have to work with your local government, and to make sure that there's a mutual relationship there, but at the same time not doing it where we're outsourcing everything that could be done within our state employees as well.
Outsourcing? Can you expand on that?
Sure, yeah. I want to make sure that we recognize what it is that we can do. There has to be a balance in all that we do. I believe that's where you can have the partnership, whether it's construction or other types of examples, But we also have to realize that there's services that the state should be providing, and using the employees that we do have within the state of New Mexico to try to provide those services. I get really concerned when we can push so much out to the private sector and we take away the potential of our own employees in state government to do some of that. We've got to make sure that we keep that in perspective and in balance.
Let's discuss water. How would you allocate water use among the needs of citizens and the efforts of the energy and high tech in using water for job creation?
Absolutely. And water is one of the big issues when I'm traveling around the whole state. That's, on people's minds. Now, when we talk about that, first thing we need to do is we need to have a true comprehensive state water plan. We need to make sure that we bring in all the stakeholders and look at the possibilities of what we can do. We have our SECIAs, who are so important to our state. They're part of our state government, yet currently are not really accepted or really embraced for what they bring. We need to bring them in. We need to bring our farmers and our ranchers in for that discussion as well as the possibilities with the technologies, with our labs. I believe that that's going to be key, because when we look at a possibility of a Tesla coming in, those questions that have to be asked is, what is the water consumption that they're going to be asking for? What are the water needs that will take away from what we currently have? All of those type of discussions really have to take place in looking at it in a holistic point of view, and I think that that's going to be critical. I also believe that we can be a leader in this nation when we're talking about the possibilities with water. Obviously, we know that there is a concern with water and the distribution of it. I think by working with the state engineer's office to make sure that we're going to have the proper utilization at the same time respecting the landowner's rights, I think that those are key. But the technology that we can really build on is looking at the desalination of salty water and seeing what we can do to use our solar, use our renewable energies to really capitalize and grow that area from within our own state.
Excuse me for clarifying. You mentioned desalinization?
Yes, desalination. I believe with technology and the rate that we've been going, before it was something that was pretty much off the table. It was something that was just kind of out of reach. That's not necessarily the case anymore, and I believe we can work with our labs. We can work with our universities to really, really be a leader in this area, to utilize the water that, right now is unfortunately not able to be used because of the salty content. But by desalinating that possibility, that's a benefit to all of us.
And in terms of other water uses in terms of developing energy, fracking, coal industries, how do you plan to balance the need of energy and the needs of the citizens for the cleaner climate, which are among the aspects that draw people to New Mexico?
Yeah, and I come from a mining community, so I know the balance that has to take place there. But I can tell you that we've got to first and foremost make sure that we're protecting the health and well-being of our New Mexico citizens. And before any of the extraction take place or any of the fracking possibilities, I'm going to require that there's going to have to be disclosure with the chemicals that are used, and to ensure that we're not harming our groundwater and we're not harming our people's health. And I think that that's, again, going to be a real defining point within the state, because the reality of it, we know there has to be a balance, but it cannot be at the cost of people's health.
A lot of the federal investigators are suggesting law enforcement problems at the state and city levels, obviously, with recent news in Albuquerque. One, do you agree with that? And if so, what would your focus be for changing the culture of policing?
I think we need to change the culture of the whole state, and that's a big reason why I'm running right now. I think this division and this culture of really prosecuting mentality, I think, is really hurting our state. And I think by changing the culture, obviously we value those law enforcement officers who are working day in and day out, who are putting their lives on the line. And when you have incidences that happen, like in Albuquerque, I really get concerned that we need to address those head on. But we need to develop a culture that's going to really realize that we are there for public service and we're there for protection. And I believe that that's going to be the first step, is really having that kind of culture set. We also need to make sure in our training possibilities is that we're looking to see how we can de-escalate certain types of situations. I think that we've, for example, sending in a SWAT team when you're dealing with an individual with mental health, that may not be the only way that we should do things. I think we need to have professionals who understand those types of issues. And again, it's a comprehensive way of addressing these issues that understand that when we're dealing with people, we're dealing with the whole person, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I think that the culture's got to reflect that of the change in the way training is done. I do believe we have to work closely with our federal government. As we see in Albuquerque, the potential of some changes that are being requested, I think that those are things that we need to take seriously, and I think that we need to adopt some of those things that may be presented.
Now, Senator Morales, besides being the youngest of all the candidates, what differentiates you from the other candidates running for governor?
You know, well, I have a lot of respect for all the my fellow Democrats who are running in the primary. There are some glaring differences, and I think that the most glaring difference is the amount of experience. Where I come in with a wide set of experiences, not just in the government sector, not just as a senator, and not just on crafting the state budget, but real life experiences of being in that classroom, of being in that hospital and healthcare setting, of understanding the infrastructure needs and jobs within our state. I think that that's key, is because you have a candidate who is the youngest, most experienced, and also has the energy to continue running the campaign the way that I've been running since I've gotten in October. That's what's going to take to win this in November. And I think that, you know, we want to make sure that we can change the direction of our state, but we've got to have a candidate who's going to be viable, who's going to help us be successful come November, and more importantly, to have a plan beyond Election Day. So I also want to expand a little bit that differentiates me from many of my other Democratic primary opponents. I think that when you look and see how elections are really frustrating to people in many ways, because it seems like money is the driver, that money is what buys elections. And New Mexico has the possibility and the opportunity to elect the person who truly has what it takes to be a great governor, but is going to earn the election rather than have it be bought. I contributed to my campaign. I gave $25,000 to my campaign, but I don't have the funds like most normal everyday New Mexican citizens to contribute hundreds of thousands of dollars to the campaign. As I said from the beginning, this election will be earned. It won't be bought. Mm. And I think that that's a real key, because people are tired of money driving elections and driving the possibility of how policy is made.
Is there anything else that you would like KSFR listeners to know about you or your plan for the future of New Mexico?
Absolutely. When you look and see the plan for New Mexico, I invite our listeners to visit my website at Morales4NM.com. I have a comprehensive plan, whether it's dealing with education, whether it's dealing with our tax structure and changing it to work for the people of the state of New Mexico, or we're talking about issues with higher education and training of a workforce, all the way to including our tribal governments, that they're part of the discussion and embraced for what they bring to the state of New Mexico. And even with the crisis issues that we deal with within our state, we deal with floods, we deal with wildfires. We've got to be proactive in that. And again, if we're going to be prosperous as a state and we're going to really thrive, we've got to move from the reactive mode and into the proactive mode. And that's what I've always done as a leader and as a servant. Because after all, that's what it comes down to, is we're all public servants. And that's most important in serving the people of the state of New Mexico. You know, I do want to just share a little bit. I'm excited as far as the few weeks that we have left in this primary race. I think that it's been clear, regardless of what forums we've had or what debates that may have taken place, that the experience really shows. And, you know, it wasn't by accident that I was able to win the pre-primary convention by such a large margin. I think that's a combination of strategy, combination of hard work, and combination of connecting with people across the state. I knew what it was to have to grow up and pay with food stamps and wait in line for government cheese and milk. And you never forget where you come from. And then I think that those are critical connecting points that people realize that we have a person who's running for governor who really can understand what the needs are of the people of New Mexico. And I think that's why we've been able to have the success that we've had, earning the endorsements of AFT, American Federation of Teachers, Olay, AFSCME, and it really shows that we are a campaign and I'm a candidate that can unify all of us to be successful come November.
State Senator Howie Morales from Silver City, thank you so much for being with us on KSFR.
Thank you for having me.